Now, last week we started back into our series on Mark, and it might be a good idea or a good plan for us just to reread Mark if we've got a bit of a quiet time, just to remind ourselves as what has happened so far. If you read a chapter a day, it would take about 16 days to read the whole book. We ended the last series in Mark with an amazing statement from Peter as to who Jesus really was, the Messiah, the Son of God. And then we began this part of Mark with confirmation from heaven that Jesus is indeed the Messiah, the Son of God. Can you imagine what it would be like to have God's voice confirming to you that Jesus, the one you are following, is his own son? One thing I would expect of those Jesus has chosen to follow him is that they would all be switched on people and that they'd have it all together as far as following Jesus was concerned. After all, they've seen some pretty impressive things. They have been taught by the best. Jesus had even given them some pretty good authority to do things, and they should be able to just go and transform the world. They were on a mission from God. Well, this morning we read from Mark 9 that things do not seem to be going all that well for at least 9 of Jesus' closest followers.
Oh, I can't believe we've let him down again. Oh, fairly. He trusted us so much. What are you guys doing here? He was like walking along on the road, and all of a sudden I turn up here. Oh, well, it is good to see you, I suppose, but oh, you probably don't know me. My name is James, that's right. And my dad's name's Alpheus, so you probably don't know much about me. They didn't write much about me in the Bible. Well, I'm here. I might as well tell you what's just happened to us. You wouldn't believe what has just happened to us. It's been so disappointing. Where do I start? To cut the long story short, how about I do that? Jesus had gone up a mountain. I don't know whether you knew about this, but Jesus went up a mountain with 3 of our mates. So there was Peter and James and John, and he went up this mountain. I don't know what they were doing up there. They didn't think us right to go up there, so they didn't take us up there. That was pretty disappointing, actually. We were feeling a bit down about that. And there was Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and this bloke called Matthew, you've probably heard of him, and Thomas, he made a name for himself, and Thaddeus and Simon, and there's Judas, well, you'd know him, and there was me, James. And us 9 blokes, we were just sitting down there at the bottom of this mountain in the town just twiddling our thumbs. Jesus had been gone for ages. And whilst we were sitting there twiddling our thumbs, this bloke came up to us and he said, my son is sick. Can you guys heal him? Can Jesus heal him? Well, we knew Jesus was away. He wasn't able to do it. And well, I tell you what. You open up your Bibles and you see what you would have done in our situation. You go to Mark, I think it's in your Bibles in Mark chapter 6, verse 7, and you see that we should have been able to fix the problem that was there. This bloke, his son, had evil spirits, and we thought Jesus was away. We thought we could probably do it. It would be nice and easy. Jesus would get back and Jesus would be impressed with us. He would be happy that us 9 blokes had been able to fix the problem. We'd done this plenty of times. I'm going to read this out for you so you can see. Jesus was calling the 12, it says. That's one of us. So I'm one of those. And he'd sent them out 2 by 2, and I'd gone out with Simon. And you know what? He gave us the authority over evil spirits. And if you look just a little later on, you're going to see that we drove out heaps of evil spirits. This is routine stuff, this is. And we expect it to be like that because when Jesus called us, if you go back again in your Bible to Mark chapter 3, verse 15, 14 and 15, when Jesus appointed us, he said that we would have authority to drive out demons. So here we were sitting twiddling our thumbs like this, and this bloke turns up and says, "Can Jesus drive out the demon in my son?" And we thought, of course he could, but since he's not here, how about we do it? And he will get back from the mountain quite impressed that his disciples had shown initiative and done the job. Well, I should take you back to the story a bit more. I was so disappointed. You heard me saying that as I came in, all of a sudden end up here. We find ourselves trying to drive out this demon and nothing happens. Man alive, I didn't know what to do. And those people that are opposed to Jesus, they thought this would be a good time to give us a hard time. It didn't seem like we had any power. And these teachers of the law, these Jewish teachers of the law, were delighted at our failure. It was a big moment for them. And so they were giving us this hard time, and this crowd had been gathered around us. And to make matters worse, do you know what happened? Jesus turned up. We were so embarrassed. And he says to us, "What are you guys arguing about?" None of us wanted to tell him. In fact, we all kept quiet. And it was quite interesting, actually. None of the teachers of the law wanted to tell him either. The teachers of the law, they'd been going hell for leather at us, arguing with us, and all of a sudden they had their mouths zipped. And it wasn't until the dad of this boy, this father, he turns around and tells Jesus the whole story. And you know what? At the end of him telling the story, he made this really cutting comment about us. He said, "Your disciples didn't seem to have the power." Oh. We were stung. It was, you know what, it was as if our failure had meant that God's name was dishonoured. That our failure showed everyone that Jesus didn't have power. It was really sad. And Jesus wasn't all that pleased with us either. You know what he said? He rebuked us, his apostles, us nine, in front of everyone. And then he rebuked the crowd and he rebuked the Father. And I'm glad he also rebuked the teachers of the law. We were a little happier when that happened. He included us all and he said, "Oh, unbelieving generation. Oh, unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you?" You could hear the pain in his voice and it cut us to the heart. But it wasn't rejection, it was sadness that we'd let God down again. We know he didn't give up on us. And you can find out that he didn't give up on us too, because if you look just a little later on in chapter 9, verse 31, you see that Jesus spent lots of time teaching us. So after this event, we knew he showed us by teaching us and helping us to understand he's a really patient and loving God. Well, I said that they made that cutting comment about us not lacking the power. If you look in your verse 18, you can see it's sort of a bit lost in your funny language that you guys speak today. But in the language we spoke, it sort of said that we didn't have power to be able to do this thing. And, well, we were sad. Let me get back a little further on. After Jesus gently rebuked us, let me tell you what happened. Jesus actually requested the Father go off and bring this son in. And the Father went and got his son and brought the son to where this big crowd was. And Jesus sort of said something that was to show that he really did have the power. And again, it's a bit lost in your funny language, but it says in verse 23, Jesus is saying everything is powerful for him who believes. That's important to remember, because a little later on, Jesus is going to call us to believe in him. Well, before Jesus drove out that evil spirit, he sat down and he was talking to the dad and just asking the dad what the son was doing and how long he'd been sick. And the dad said it had been there since childbirth, and since childhood. And we think he probably did that just to show people that this son really was sick and had been sick for a long time. And this demon had really, really got into this son and really affected him badly. He was cut up and bruised and burnt and bashed, and gee, you could see the mess. And actually, whilst Jesus was talking to the dad, the son had another one of these fitty-looking things, but it was a fit that happened because he was demon-possessed. It wasn't like normal fits, you know. Anyhow, the father turns around to Jesus and says to him, "Listen, if you can heal my son, if you can do anything, could you please do it?" Like, he was really desperate. And we felt bad about that, because when the father had first come to us, the father had said, "Oh, Jesus will heal my son, And then when he came afterwards, sort of mucked up, he said, if you could. You know, as if the Father wasn't certain whether or not Jesus did have the power to do this. And Jesus spoke up and he commanded this demon to come out. He did it sort of really quickly because there was this big crowd running to see everything. And Jesus wasn't one of these show pony sort of people. He didn't want everyone to see what he was doing. He wasn't a sideshow. And so what he did was actually, he quickly just drove out the demon, just like that. We'd been trying for ages, and just with the word, the demon came out. But the boy fell down like a sack of potatoes. And we thought the demon had won for a second, because remember, the demon was trying to kill the boy. And he looked as if he was dead, and the crowd, people thought he was dead. But Jesus reached down and picked him up. Gee, we were so excited. It was incredible. The Father, you should have seen how excited he was. Do you know what Jesus did? He clearly demonstrated to us. He clearly demonstrated to the Father. He clearly demonstrated to the teachers of the law and that crowd that was around that he is the one with total power and authority. Man, it was a good lesson to learn. Even though we're disappointed in him, we'd learned a wonderful lesson. But we were really pleased when Jesus suggested we went indoors. We were still so embarrassed. And as soon as we got indoors, we said to Jesus, how come we couldn't do it? How could come we couldn't drive out that demon? After all, remember, Jesus had said we would have the power. Jesus said we'd be able to do it. We'd even done it before. How come that wouldn't happen with this one? Jesus' reply was sort of like one of those gentle rebukes. Have you ever had one of those where the person just sort of gently steers you the right way? Well, we got one of those that day. We were a bunch of people that were still trying to learn what it meant to follow Jesus. And Jesus gently rebuked us and said, this is actually the right way to follow me. You see, we had been so self-confident. I'm one of the 12 apostles. Did you know that? Like, people are going to be talking about me for years to come. And I think some of that had gone to my head. And I'd done this before. I'd wielded God's power in a way that drove out demons and evil spirits. And I thought I could just do it again. And do you know what Jesus said to me? And to the other eight who were there, or actually the other 12, he said, we need to be people who are prayerful. We need to be people who pray. Because if we try and do things by ourselves, it's doomed to failure. Because we're just putting our confidence in ourselves. And Jesus said, we need to be people who pray that actually come before God and put our confidence in him. Man, we still had so much to learn about following Jesus. It was a great lesson, but man, were we embarrassed. You know, that's something we learn. I wonder what you guys could learn from our experience. I wonder if there's stuff that you might be able to learn as followers of Jesus today. Because this was a long time ago, I believe. We certainly didn't have buildings like you guys have today. We were just on dusty streets. Here's some things I reckon that might be helpful for you guys to think through as you read about what Jesus did and what we did, sadly to say. You might have thought, oh, we know so much today because we're cleverer people than back in our day. And you might think, we know this bloke just had an epileptic fit and all you need to do is leave him alone and he'll be right later on. And then you take him to see the doctor later. But I think if you think that this boy just had an epileptic fit, you've misunderstood Mark. You don't understand the Bible. See, Mark wants us to know there is a difference between a physical illness and a spiritual possession. As you read through the book of Mark, you're going to see lots of times that people had leprosy. See, that's something physical, and people had fevers and people had paralysis. This lady bled for a long time and this bloke had a shriveled hand and people were deaf and blind. Mark knows about those things. But for this boy, Mark wanted us, and the Father wanted us to know, this is not just a boy who has epileptic fits. This is a boy who is possessed by an unclean spirit. And Jesus showed that he had the power. Well, I suppose we showed the crowd that we don't. But Jesus showed everyone that he did. You know, people weren't going to be following us, and I guess we're pleased that they didn't. And you haven't heard much about me in the Bible, and I'm guessing now I'm pleased that you haven't, because I might have got a big head. But I need to learn, I learned that I need to keep pointing people back to Jesus. I reckon there's another thing you can learn, is you guys can be a bit like me, a bit like us nine apostles. See, as you read the Bible, you're going to see just how bad we were. Not bad, naughty, but bad. Well, we kept stuffing up. We failed. We kept being confident in ourselves. And we needed to learn to trust Jesus. I wonder whether you might be like that. What are you seeking to do for God? What are you seeking to do for God in this year? And are you seeking to do it all by yourself? Because if you're seeking to do it all by yourself, it ain't going to work. You'll be as embarrassed as we were. You guys need to learn from our mistakes. Oh man, we made lots of them. But this one, you need to learn to be people of prayer. You need to be people who express your confidence in God. Don't try and do it by yourself. If I remember correctly, last year, you guys looked at prayer a few times. And you were encouraged to be people of prayer a few times. I wonder how many of you are praying more. I wonder how many of you are turning up to the prayer meetings more regularly or using some of the prayer notes you have. Are you people who pray? Or are you out there trying to do it by yourselves? I reckon that you might be a bit like me. We were activists. We wanted to get the job done and we wanted to have everyone impressed with what we were doing. And there's a verse in the Bible that says something like, "Be still and know that I am God." Not me, of course, but that God is God. And I think it's telling us to stop running around doing all this stuff for ourselves and stop and realise that God is God and God has ultimate power and authority. God wants us to go and serve him, but he doesn't want us to serve him without us being under his power and authority. There's something I think you can learn. But I reckon you can also be a bit like the father in the story. We certainly were, but we don't want to admit it. I think the father speaks like for many of us. He said something pretty funny, didn't he? Pretty unusual. Lots of us might like to speak of us being powerfully converted and transformed. And when we were converted, all our questions all of a sudden got solved and everything went good. But that father said something I think most of us would like to say. "I believe, help me overcome my unbelief." I wonder whether we can be people who admit we do have doubts. And I wonder whether we're people who then turn to Jesus and say, "Can you help me overcome my unbelief?" You see, I reckon you're a bit like me. And we're a bit like the Father. And I reckon we've got lots to learn. I wonder how good you are at trusting God. I wonder how good you are at doing things and trusting yourselves. We had a hard lesson to learn as apostles. Anyway, I've been speaking for ages. You might feel that too. I'm supposed to be actually meeting Peter just outside of the road into Galilee. So I better go and do that and try and find him. And I hope you've learned from our mistakes. I hope you've learned from to not be like we were. And I hope you've learned to be people who pray to our God rather than just act on ourselves. See you around.